Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf lamed ches, and we are about 15 lines from the bottom of daf lamed ches amid beis amir Rav Sheshes. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achenu b'nei Yisrael hanasunu batzara v'ashivya. Today's daf is also being learned le'inu nishmas Yisrael ben Tzvi Menachem Alevi and le'ilu nishmas Chaim Elazar ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Reb Shimshon Aryeh. So we're moving along here. In the latter part of the second parak of Masechta Avodah Zarah, dealing with Dvarim Shal Ovdei Kechavim. Specifically, we have three Mishnayos in the parak that talk about halachas related to Dvarim Shal Ovdei Kechavim. The first Mishnah on Daf Chav Tesamid Beis discussed Dvarim Shal Ovdei Kechavim that are Aser, but not only are they Aser Bachila, Aser Beshtiyah, they're also Aser Bahana. We had the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis, which discuss Dvarim Shal Ovdei Kechavim that are Aser Bachila, but Mutter Bahana. And then there's the Mishnah that we are still going to learn on Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis, and that mentions Dvarim Shal Ovdei Kechavim that you could have, would have, should have thought should be Aser, but really these things are Mutar. Now, as it relates to the specific context that we're holding in right now, we're dealing with halachas related to Bishal Akam, says the Gemara. Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, "Hai Mishcha Shlika Darmoi." The oil that belonged to Ovdei Kechavim that they cooked, Aser is going to be Aser. So you're not allowed to buy cooked oil from an Ovdei Kechavim. And the reason is because it's presumably Bishal Akim, says the Gemara. Rav Safra. Rav Safra heard Rav Sheshes Psak, and he said, "I disagree, because Lamai Nechashla, what really are you worried about? Imishami Ruve, are you worried that maybe there's some Yayin of an Ovdei Kechavim that's mixed together with this oil? I don't think that's a problem, because because if you mix wine together with oil, it actually makes the oil go bad, and there's no svar in the world that anybody would ever do that. Are you worried about, the fact that the Ovdei Kechavim cooked it, so it's bishul akum, nechel hu kemoshe hu chai. But oil is something that you don't have to cook, you can eat it, you can drink it raw, and we know the rule, that anything that's nechel kemoshe hu chai, even if a guy cooks it, is not subject to the halacha bishul akum. And imishum gi ulei Ovdei Kechavim, maybe you worried about the keli that the oil was cooked in, so that maybe there are bleas and platis that came from the keli that entered the oil, and maybe that's why it should be a problem. Meaning, if the guy's cooking it in his non-kosher keli, so that would seem to be a good reason for this to be a problem. But Rav Safra said, that's not either an issue, because nois and tam lefkamu, because stam kelim anap neyoymam, right? We assume when ever there's a Yeridea Shaila about a keli and you don't know specifically when the last time this keli was used, probably it wasn't used in the last 24 hours. And Blias and Platis, once 24 hours pass, is already nice and tam lefkam. So based on that, said Rav Safra, I'm not really sure what we have to be worried about. I disagree with Rav Sheshes, says Psak, Hai Mishcha Shlika Darmoi is not Aser, rather it's going to be Mutter. Boy, my name is Rav Asi. They asked Rav Asi the following question. Hani Ahini Shliki Darmoi Mai. What's the halacha regarding cooked dates of an Ovid Kechavim? So an Ovid Kechavim cooked dates. Dates are kosher, obviously. Ovid Kechavim cooked it. Would that be a problem, or would that be a problem? Now, what would be the tzad that should be a problem? Presumably, Bishal Akum. So Rav Asi said as follows. He said, Chulyi loiti baylach. As it relates to Chulyi, sweet dates, there's for sure no shayla. Why the vade sharu? It's for sure mutter. And the reason is because sweet dates taste good. Then nechal k'moshu chai, anything that's nechal k'moshu chai is not subject to the laws of Bishal Akum. Meriri loiti baylach. If they're very bitter dates, it's also not a shayla. Why not? The vade asiri. It's for sure going to be yasser. Because it's for sure not nechal k'moshu chai. And as a result, this is just a good old-fashioned example of Bishal Akam. What's the Shaila? Kiti Bailach, when would there be a Shaila? Rav Asi's telling the Oilam. Mitziyoy, if it's a Beinani, it's somewhere in between, where it's not mamish sweet, where it's nechel k'moshu chai, it's also not mamish bitter, where nobody would ever eat it. My, there, I could hear a Shaila. Either way, Amal Hu Rav Asi told them, Maiti Bailachu, I still don't think it's a Shaila, meaning this is something that was already discussed by earlier generations. The Rebbe Asar. Rebbe said it's awesome. Says the Gemara, Manu, who was this Rebbe that Rav Asi was referring to? So the Gemara says Levi. He was referring to Levi. Either way, so Rav Asi told them that as it relates to sweet dates, for sure that's not a problem. As it relates to the bitter dates, for sure that is a problem. As it relates to this mitzioi, this beinoni, we know from Rebbe, who's Levi, that said that this is going to be an issue. Shtisa. As it relates to shtisa. So what exactly was shtisa? So Rashi says, shtisa was a tafshel. It was something cooked. It was made of kemach shel kloyos. So it's made of toasted grains. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara, there were times that lentils were added to the recipe, and there were times that lentils, adashim, were not added to the recipe. When lentils were added, sometimes vinegar was added. If lentils were not added, then for sure vinegar was not added. We'll just take that as an assumption. Either way, shtisa, so as it relates to this tafshul of shtisa, Rav Shari Rav said it's mutter, Avud Shmuel and Levi asked. Avud Shmuel and Levi both said that it's going to be us. So the Gemara says like this, b'chiti v'sa'iri, the shtisa that was made from chitim and sa'irim, meaning not lentils, kuli amal pligi d'shari. Everybody agrees it's mutter. There's no reason it should be a problem. The shtisa that was made with lentils, kuli amaloi pligi da aser. Everybody agrees is going to be aser. Now, tlafchi means lentils, the chala means vinegar. Meaning, the ones that were made with lentils and with vinegar, everybody agrees is going to be aser. And the reason is because vinegar was once wine, and wine is a problem if it belonged to a Nevi Kechavim. So being that there's chaymetz here, the chaymetz is subject to all the laws of yayin, we're going to have an issue. Keep pligi, what is the machloi? Where it was used with lentils, but not lentils and chaymetz, rather lentils with mayim. Mar Savar, Avud Shmuel and Levi that said it's a problem, held Gazrin and Ha'atuha, that once you're using lentils, at this point we have to be machmer, and we're going to be machmer even if there's no chaymetz, gzeira atu, you may do it with chaymetz, Mar Savar Gazrin. Whereas Rav, who said that it's mutter, he said there's no reason to make a gzeira, meaning enochinami, if you're going to use adashim and you're going to have chaymetz, so now you're dealing with yayinesech, stam yayin amishus, for sure that's going to be a problem, but to the extent that it's adashim with mayim, you're going to make a gzeira this recipe, or through that recipe, this is already something that you don't have to be sensitive to. So again, high level. Shtisa, Rav said mutter, Avud the Shmuel, and Levi said aser. And the Gemara explains that if there's no lentils, it's chiti v'sa'iri, there's no reason in the world it should be a problem. If there's lentils and there's vinegar, oh, chaymetz, that's tam yenam, that's for sure a problem. What's the machlokes? Where it's lentils, but instead of mixing it with chaymetz, it was mixed with mayim. Similar to the one that was used with chaymetz, hence there were those Avud Shmuel and Levi that said that we have to be goyzer one after the other. But at the same time, it's not mamish the same thing, and that's why Rav held lo yigazrin. This is the first lishon of the Gemara. Ikadamri, others said betlavchi the maya. In the event that this shtisa was used with lentils and water, kulam lai pligi da aser. Everybody holds it's aser, and the reason is because everybody in this lishon holds you have to make the gzeira. Water atu chaymetz kli pligi. What's the machloikis bechiti v'sa'iri? Where there was no lentils at all. It's a completely different dish. It was made with chitim and it was made with sa'ir. Marsav Avud Shmuel Levi holds gazrinon ha'atu ha. Even then you go and make the gzeira. Marsav alay gazrinon. Whereas Rav held you don't make the gzeira. So according to the second lishna, once you use lentils, everybody holds you have to make the gzeira. There's no shaila in the world. So what is the machloikis? The machloikis is talking about where there were no lentils at all. All it was chiti v'sa'iri. They still mock him to say that at the end of the day, it's shtisa. And being that there is a shtisa, that's a problem, the one with the chaymetz. And you mask him, you're going to be geyser, the lentils with the water, atu, the one with the chaymetz. I hold you have to say anything that is yikar shmai b'Yisrael shtisa, if that's what it says on the menu, that's automatically going to be out. Rav said, no, if there's lentils, you have to make a gzera. You're mixing it with water, atu, you're mixing it with chaymetz. But to the extent it's chiti v'sa'iri, that's a completely different dish. Shtisa, shtisa, the gzera shava, that's not enough of a reason for us to go ahead and to make a gzera, says the Gemara. Parenthetically, Amar Rav said, shtei mine shtisa shada barzilai hageladi l'david. So this is already discussing an episode in Nach, Shmuel Beis, Perek Yitzayim, Pasuk Chav Ches, where Barzilai Hagiladi sends things to David HaMelech. What did he send him? So the Pasuk says, the Chesef, Mishkov, he sent him beds, Vesapois, different Kalim, Ukli Yitzer, earthenware Kalim, Vechitim Usa'irim, Vekemach Vekali, Ufoil Vadashim Vekali. So it says Kali twice. And each Kali is referring to Shtisa, and the first one is Vechitim Vesa'irim Vekemach Vekali. That's the chiti v'sa'iri version. And the other one is upul v'adashim v'kali. That's the lentil version. It says the Gemara, postscript to this discussion regarding Shtisa, Vahashtahudaka, Mafki, Tzani, Tzani, Leshukin in the Harda. He says, today, if you go to the Shuk in the Harda, you're going to see that there are people, they have large baskets of Shtisa, Vales, the Chayesh, Lod, Avud, Shmuel, Levi, and nobody's Chayesh, Avud, Shmuel, and Levi. Everybody is Maker when it comes to Shtisa. Now, what exactly was going on in the Shuk of Naharda is not clear. The only thing we know is that whatever it was the thing that Avud the Shmuel Levi and Rav argued about. What did they argue about? So that we had to lishayin this. According to one Lishna, they're arguing about the Adashim with Maim. According to another Lishna, they're arguing where it was the Chiti with the Sairi. But either way, we have this Haggadah Eidos that in the Shuk of Naharda, the Olam was being Meikle like Rav, Veles the Chayesh Laha, the Avud the Shmuel, the Levi. Moving along. Ukvashim shedarkin loses besoichon yayin v'chaymet. So the Mishnah had said, again, going back to the Dvarim shalav t'kechavim, that are aser ba'achil, but the mutar ba'hana. So the Mishnah said that if you have kvashim, different vegetables that are soaked in liquid, shedarkin loses besoichon yayin, where the derech is to put yayin or chaymet, so this is something that's aser ba'achil, it's not going to be aser b'hana. Now, as just an introduction to this little piece of Gemara that we're about to learn, it's just kedai to brush off and to remember the Mishnah on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis. So the Mishnah Chav Tes Amud Beis mentioned Dvarim Shalev T'Kechavim that are Asurin, the Isurin Isirano. We're discussing the Mishnah that discusses Dvarim Shalev T'Kechavim that are Asurin, but they're not aser b'hana. Now, in that Mishnah, there were two cases that the Gemara mentioned as being a Machloikis Rameir and the Chachamim. What were the cases? So one case was Murius, and the other one was Gvinas Beis Unaiki. So according to Rameyer, Murius and Gvinas Beis Unaiki were Aser and even Aser Bana. According to Chachamim, Ein Isur and Isarna. Now we don't have to chazer over the Gemara, this discussion of Murius and Gvinas Beis Unaiki. But one thing we should be mindful of, and that is the Gemara said that the reason that was a problem, Murius and Gvinas Beis Unaiki, is because there was a little bit of Yayin mixed inside of it. And it seems like there's a Machlokes remain the Chachamim, where there's a taruvus of Yayin Nesech into the cheese, into this Murius, this fish Michael. Does that make it mamish like Yayin Nesech? So it's going to be not only Aser Bachila, but it's also going to be Aser Bana? Or do you say that being that all it is Betaruvus, Efshanisht? So with that, Haktama, Zakti Gemar. Ukfashim Shedarkon Losnes Besoychen Yayin. Amar Chizkiya. So Chizkiya made a very subtle dik in the Mishnah. He said, Loishanu Elo Shedarkon. The only time this halach is true, that kvashim, shedarkon, losa b'teichon yayin, v'chaymetz, is mutar b'hana, is if it's only darkon, avol b'yodua, asra afilu b'hana. So what's the difference between darkon and yodua? So yodua is zikr, right? Well, so zikr is zikr. What does darkon mean? Well, there's a very high probability that that's what happened, because that's the derech, but you don't know for sure. So if you don't know for sure, there you have the kula, that one, it's going to be mutar b'hana. But if you know for sure it's yodua, then it's going to be asna afilu b'hana. Says the Gemara, umayishnami murius. Why is this different than murius? The sharu rabbanon b'hana, with the rabbanon, with mekel by murius, where you know for sure there's yayin. The Mishnah Chavtes on the base, Machloikis Ramei the Chacham, it's also Ba'anah, whether it's Mutar Ba'anah, but the Chacham Shita seems to be that being that it's only B'taruvus, it's going to be Mutar Ba'anah. So the Gemara's Kasha is that why would Kvashim, where it's Yodua, that there's Yayin inside of it, be Aser Afilu Ba'anah, according to the Chachamim who hold Murius and Gvinas Beis Unaiki, where you know that there's Yayin mixed in the Taruvus, but being that it's not the real thing, all it is B'taruvus, so the Halach is, it's Mutar Ba'anah. So the Gemara says, there's a Chilek, Hasam La Vure Zuama, Hachol Lim Tukei Taima. The reason they used to put the Yayin into the Murius was because Murius is from fish. Fish smells very, very bad sometimes. And as a result, to make it smell a little bit better, they used to put the yayin there. But the yayin is not really there to give it any taste. In fact, it's there just to remove this bad zuama. But hoch over here, when it comes to the kvashim, to the extent that they're soaking it in wine, lemtuke taima, it's here to actually make it taste a little bit better. And being that it's here to taste a little bit better, so it's more doima to the real yayin. And being that real yayin is asa b'shtiyah and it's asa b'anah, this too is going to be asa b'anah. Rabbi Yochanan no mas again. This was Chizkiya. Chizkiya made the diya kvashim shedarkon losseis b'soich. It's only true if it's darkon. Avol yodua, also afilu b'ana. Rabbi Yochanan said, afilu yodua nami mutter. That even if you know for sure the wine is there, still it's going to be mutter. Meaning it doesn't mean tafka if it's darkon, where that's the derech. That subtle diak is nishkain diak. But even if it's yodua, you know for a fact that there's wine there, still the halach is that it's going to be mutter. Afraid the Gemara, umayshnami murius l'Rab Meir da'asabana. So the first kasha was a kasha libi the rabbanon. Now the kasha is faker libi the Rab Meir. Rab Meir that holds that murius is asabahana. Why? Because it has a taruvus. So Rabbi Yochanan, how's your halacha gonna stem with what Rav Meir said? Meaning, if Rav Meir holds that when there's a little bit of yayin b'taruvus, it takes on the whole stringency of stam yenam, that's going to be aser afilu b'hana. So how come here, where you know for sure there's yayin and you're soaking these vegetables in yayin, do we say it's not aser b'hana? Meaning, bishloima, where it's only darkon. It's like it here, there's a chilik between murius and where it's darkon. Darkon, you don't know for sure, but murius, you know for sure. But Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you know for sure, the halacha is going to be the same. So, Maishnami Rameir, the Gemara says, Hasam Yediyam Amashai, Hacha Lo Yediyam Amashai. The chiluk is like this. By the Murius, you end up eating the actual yayin. Meaning, the yayin becomes part and parcel of the Murius. Being that you end up eating the actual yayin, Sadir Rameir holds it's going to be afilu asabana. But hoch over here by the kvashim, you're just soaking the vegetables in this rotev that has a little bit of yayin in it. But the objective is not to eat what the yirokas are being soaked in, it's to eat the yirokas. And as a result, lo yediyah mamashon, the mamashus of the yayin is not so nicker in the yirokas that you're eating, it's only that the yirokas were soaked in it. Now, avad, it's in the world of taruvas, that's a big deal. But when we're splitting hairs here, should we asr banan, not asr banan, should we treat it like it's the real yayin, or do we not have to take on the chaymer of treating it as if it's the real yayin? Here we can make this distinction where it's yodia mamoshoi, where you're eating the actual mamoshes of the yayin, so there would be more machmer, where you're eating something that was only soaked inside that, over there, there's makim to be makim. Moving along. So going back to the Mishnah mentioned a few fish-related items. It said, v'tiryas trufa, v'tzir she'em bodaga, v'chulu, and it said, v'achilak. So one of the things that was mentioned in the Mishnah as being aser b'achilah b'mutar b'hanah is chilak. Now, to be clear, the chilak, as we're going to see in a minute, was really a kosher fish. And based on that, really, it's a fish that you should be able to eat. The Gemara is going to say that the reason that Chazal said that you're not allowed to eat the chilak is because when the fishermen used to catch the chilak with their fishing net, so they used to get the chilak together with a whole bunch of different fish, and when they would chop it up, it ended up, they were so small, they'd get attached to each other, and it ended up becoming a taruva. So the isser of chilak is really not related to the chiluk. We'll see the Gemara is going to tell stories where people ate the chiluk. The issue was just the way the fishermen used to catch it. And the fishermen used to catch it together with non-kosher fish. They were so small, very hard to separate. That's where this issue came from. But either way, let's see it inside. Zoktimar, my chiluk. What exactly is this chiluk? Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Abba, Amar Rav, Zu Sultanus. It's the fish that's known as the Sultanus. Umetne ma'asura. Why is it aser? Meaning it's a kosher fish. It has all the simanim of a kosher fish. So why is this aser? Mepnei she'ervoyna oyle'ima. The reason is because when they used to catch the chiluk, they would catch it with other fish. Some of those other fish they would catch together with it were non-kosher fish. It ended up being one big taruvus, and it's for that reason this was a problem. What would be if you have a fish that right now doesn't have the simonim that it has to have in order for it to be considered kosher? So what are the simonim of a kosher fish? It has to have fins and scales, right? Snapper v'kaskasis. That's the taich of what makes a fish kosher. So what happens if you have a fish where when it's young, it doesn't have the simonim yet? But we know for a fact that as this fish matures, as it steigs, it's going to develop the simonim. Keep going. What's an example of this? Hasultanus. Why are we talking about this? Because that's the fish of our mission. That's the chiluk that we just mentioned a second ago. V'ha'afyun. This is another example. So the Bryson says, I raise a mutter, the halacha is, you're allowed to eat it. Because even though now it doesn't have the simonim, but it's going to have the simonim, and that's enough. Additionally, yesh le'achshav, what would be if the fish had the simonim now? So while it's in the water, it has the simonim. However, va'asid lahasher b'shosh oilim anayam. But when it comes up from the yam, just the mitzias is, it's going to end up losing the simonim. Kigoyin akunas va'afunas kesiftias v'achsiftias v'atunas. So what's the halach in all these cases? Mutter, the halach is it's mutter. Because being that it has simonim while it's in the mayim, even though later it's going to lose the simonim, afilo hachi, the halach is it's going to be kosher. So really two halachas in this braisa. Number one, if it doesn't have the simonim when it's younger, but it's going to develop it later, it doesn't matter. It's a kosher fish already from the minute that this fish is born. Additionally, if it has it when it's in the water, but we know for a fact it's going to lose it, the halach is it's fine. It's always going to be a kosher fish. Zok the Gemara, Achriz Rabavo b'Kesaris. Rabavo made the following proclamation in Kesari. He said, Kirve Dogim, the innards of a fish, the ubaron and the eggs of the fish, nikachim mikol adam. If you want, you can buy them from any person. Now, this dogim that Rabavo was referring to was all different types of fish. He said, in this town, Kesari, all the fish is considered kosher. He said, why? Cheskason einam bam elam mipilusav asbanya. Because there's a chazaka that the insides of these fish that are being sold in Kesari came from Pilusa and Aspamia. And in Pilusa and Aspamia, all the fish is kosher. There's no non-kosher fish over there. And because there's no non-kosher fish over there, there's no concern. You don't have to worry about the kashrus. Says the Gemara, it's a little bit of a chiddush, right? Meaning, Rav Avoh is paskening that all the kirvei dogim in this town are kosher. You know why? Because I know where the fish comes from. It comes from Pilusa or Aspamia, and in those rivers there's no non-kosher fish. The Gemara says, I'll show you a similar psak where you find Abaya, the great Abaya, paskin this way. He heard that Amar Abaya, Abaya, it said, Hai Tzachanto. So Tzachanto is the chiluk of our Mishnah, the Bav Naharo that comes from the river of the city of Bav. Shari the Lachas, if you want to eat it, you're allowed to eat it. Now, what do you mean? It's Kenegar Mishnah. The Mishnah mentions chiluk as one of the things that are asabah chiluk. So Abaya explained. He said, my time, what's the reason? Is it because, meaning, the underlying reason is because why is chiluk a problem? It's a problem because we're concerned that the fisherman, when he catches it, he's taking non-kosher fish. So Abaya is making a hanacha that in Bav, that place, in Bav, the Nahar there doesn't have any non-kosher fish. So if you know for a fact there's no non-kosher fish there, so there's nothing to be concerned about. Nothing to be concerned about. You want to eat the chiluk, you can eat the chiluk. So the Gemara's question, my timer, is why is it that there was no non-kosher fish swimming in the Nahar of Bav? Mar says, is it because the water was very aggressive over there? V'haydag tome, and a non-kosher fish, giving the less lechut ashedra, being that it doesn't have a spine, we'll see more about this in tomorrow's daf, it just can't survive in an area where the water is very feisty. The Mar says, that can't be the reason. Because we see that non-kosher fish are able to survive and even thrive in areas where the currents are very aggressive. So you can't tell me that Abaya held that in Bav Nahara, this for sure no non-kosher fish. Why? Because of the fact that the water is very aggressive. Because Shengazain Azar, that there's non-kosher fish swimming in these types of currents. Ella, maybe the reason is Shum Dabalichemaya. Maybe it's because in Bav, the Nahar over there, the water was very salty. The Haidak Tameh and this non-kosher fish, give me the less a kalfi, being that it doesn't have scales, Biduchta, the Malichi Meile Matikai, has no ability to survive in a place that's very salty. Mars is also not true. Nishtemis, Vaka Chazin and the Kai, because you see that it is able to survive. Elo the Gemara says, Mishum Dele Mirabatina Dak Tameh. The reason is because just the ground, just the environment over there was such that it did not have the ability somehow to allow non-kosher fish to live there. But the bottom line is, Abaya issued the same exact psak. That haitzachante the Bav Nahara sharia. Why? Because there's a svara, there's an umdana that in Bav Nahara there's no non-kosher fish. So what's the problem with the chileg? It might be betaruvus with non-kosher fish. You don't have to worry about it over there. But the Gemara says, Amar Avina, as a postscript to this, ho idno de koshavchi be nahar goizo nahar gamto. Nowadays, where water from the river of Goizo and the river of Gamda end up pouring into the river above, Asiri, now it's going to be Asir. And the reason is because even though the river above in and of itself doesn't have the ability to allow these non-kosher fish to flourish, but at the same time, they're getting perhaps the non-kosher fish from an external place, from the Hargoyz and Hargamda, and it's for that reason Abaya's kula is no longer going to be relative. Zok Gemara, Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Hai chamara de yama shari. So a chamara is milashin chamar, a donkey. The yama is of the sea. So the donkey of the sea, it's a certain type of fish, is mutter. It's a kosher fish. Tayri de yama, whereas the axe of the sea, usher is usher. See, Monach and Abaya said a good way to remember which one is kosher, which one is not kosher. He said, tamei tahar and tahar tamei. Tamei, a chamar, is a non-kosher animal. But the chamara de yama is tahar. a shor is a kosher animal, but the Torah deyama is aser. So the one that's tameh, the chamar, in this instance is tar, and the one that's tar, which is the shor, in this instance is going to be tameh. Similarly, Amar Rav Ashri, Rav Ashri said, shvar nuna shari, certain type of fish, kidash nuna aser. V'simanech, in a good way, to remember which is which, meaning you want to remember is the shvar nuna the one that's mutter and the kidash nuna aser, fakert, kodesh l'Hashem. Just remember kodesh l'Hashem. Meaning that you'll remember Kodesh Hashem, you'll remember that the Kedash Nuna is the one that's Aser. You say Kodesh Hashem means Aser, Kodesh Hashem means it's Heilig, Faket, right? Fish with all the schoolers, you would think the one that's Kodesh Hashem is the one you should be eating. But the Teretz is Pasha, because Kachim, although it's very Kodesh, but at the same time it's Aser Ba'ana. There's a whole parasha of Me'ila. So the one that's the Kodesh, that's Lashem Dafka, but it's Aser to you, and this is a way of remembering that the Kedash Nuna is the one that's Aser. Ikadami, some said Kvar Nuna Aser. It wasn't Kedash Nuna that was Aser, but it was Kvar Nuna that's Aser. Samanach, and a way to remember that is Kivrei Ovdei Kechavim. Just think of Kivrei Ovdei Kechavim, meaning the one that's the Kvar is like the Ovdei Kechavim, that's for the Shkutzim, it's not meant for the Eden, because that's something that's really not going to be kosher. Zok de Gemara, Apar Maises. Rabbi Akiva Iklil de Ginzak. Rabbi Akiva once came to Ginzak, so we know Achabar Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva is always on the move, Rabbi Akiva is always traveling. So in today's daf, he was in Ginzak. Aisel de Kamea, who nun and the Habadami le Chipusha, and they brought him a fish that looked like a Chipusha. Now a Chipusha is a non kosher fish. But Dailan wasn't sure, is this kosher or is it not kosher? And they couldn't really tell. So what are you looking for? You're looking for the simonim of a kosher fish. But it was very hard to see. So Rabbi Akiva had an idea. Chapya bidikula. What he did was, he covered the fish with a basket. And when the fish was covered with the basket, it started dying. And it died in a feisty way, right? It started flapping. And because of its flapping, chazabe kalfi, some of its scales fell off. Rabbi Akiva said, you see, that scales, v'shari, that means it's a kosher fish. Rav Ashi ikfil tamdurya. Rav Ashi once came to tamdurya. They brought him a fish that Dailam thought was a kosher fish, but it looked like the tzlufcha, which is a non-kosher fish. So he said, Rav Ashi, is this kosher? Is this not kosher? So naktil hadiyayma, what he did was, he looked at it next to the sun, right? Old school, chazat habi beit simchi, and he saw that there were these very, very small scales, the sharia, and he said, Rav Ashi, it's mutra. Rav Ashi ikla lahu asra. Rav Ashi once came to another place. I said, come in nuna, davidami, l'shafrununa. And they brought him a fish that looked like this, shvarnuna, right? That's the shvarnuna that we had earlier. Says the Gemara. And, you know, but they wanted to know for sure if this is really the Shvar Nuna. So again, over here it looked like a kosher fish, right? The Shvar Nuna, we said, was mutter. But they weren't 100% sure. Yeah, no. So Chafi bin Meshichli Chevari, so what was his patent? What he did was he covered it with a white basket, and the contrast of the color, Chazab Kalfi, he was able to see that it had scales, Vesharye, and again, he said that this is in fact the Shvar Nuna, in which case it's going to be Mutter. One last story. Rabba Bar Barchana Iklo Akra Da Agma. Rabba Bar Barchama once came to Akra Da Agma, Krivale Tzchanta, and they brought him Tzchanta. Now, Tzchanta was a kosher fish. But he heard that the Olam was referring to this fish as a bati. Now, a bati was a non-kosher fish. So it was a little funny to him. They're giving me Tzchanta. It looks like, you know, kosher fish, but they're referring to it as something non-kosher. So he got a little nervous. If they're calling a bati, maybe there's some davar tamei inside of it. Like, he didn't need it. Let's have it the next morning. Ayimba, so it was at night. He couldn't really see so well. But the next morning, he was able to look at it next to the oil, right? He had better vision then. So he took a good look. Ashkechbe, he saw davar tamei, that there was a tak of davar tamei inside of it. And Kari Anafshe, he said about at himself, he said, ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me, he speared me, I was about to eat it under the impression that this was Tzchanta. I heard someone say Bati and Lamaisan, this ended up saving me, because at the end of the day, if I would have eaten this, this would have been a very bad thing. And the truth is, this Gemara is really in line with an idea that we're familiar with from different places in Shas. But the Gemara says, Hashta behemten shel tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mevet hakol ha'yodoy, tzadikim atzman le'koshkein. And even though Tosfos brings throughout Shas b'shem Rabbeinu Tam that it's only true from midi d'achila, this is a midi d'achila. This is a classic example where a tzaddik who was speared the midi d'achila and he wasn't over an avera. One other thing worth mentioning, who's the person that was an akra d'agma? It was Rabbi Bar Barchana. you remember the Haggadah Gemara is in the beginning of Perek Hamoiches Hasvina. I mean, that is the Haggadah Gemara with the Hey Ayudia. So it's all the, you know, life and times and travels and tribulations of Rabbi Bar Bachana, and he's traveling all over the place. I was once traveling here, I was once traveling there. Remember at the time when we learned the sugya, we mentioned from Rav Hyman in his classic work, Told Us Tanam Vamiran, where he says that he believes that Rabbi Bar Bachana was one of the Nechusei Yama. So we know that there's a lot of Gemaras in Shas, but the Gemara says, Ki Yasa Rav Dimi, Ki Yasa Ravin, right? There were different Amiran that lived in Bavel. They had traveled to Eretz Yisrael, but they came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel with different memories that they heard in Eretz Yisrael, whether it was from Rabbi Yochanan, whether it was from Reish Lakish, Rabbi Avo, right? Different tzaddikim that were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So he said, Rabbi Bar Bachana was also one of the Nechusei Yama. This is his chiddush, and he says that's why Rabbi Bar Bachana is traveling in the beginning of Hamoiches Hasvina. But either way, here's another Gemara where he's traveling. Rabbi Bar Bachana, Ikra LaAkra de Akma. Regardless, moving along. So the Mishnah said, Vakirut Shal Chiltis. So this Chiltis, this herb, spicy herb, as we'll see in the Gemara, this is one of the things that are asa b'achilas. Why is it asa to eat this? So the Gemara says, Mishun, the reason is because if you buy it from an Eni Yehudi, so the goyim used to cut it with their knives were not kosher, and that's why it's a problem. And it says the Gemara like this, even though we know is mutter, and stam kelim are not bnei yoimon, so who cares that Eni Yehudi David Kechavim is chopping it with his knife? At the end of the day, it's nois and tam lifgam. But says the Gemara, agav churfe dechiltisa mechal yole shamnu nisa, that the charifus of the chiltis somehow is mamtik, it's mamtik, it sweetens the shamnunis that's inside the sakin. And it makes it into a nice tam l'shvach, and it's going to be awesome. It's a chiddush v'na maisa. But this is what goes on over here. Usually, if you have a keil, it's not a ben yoimoy, so you can use it, right? But you have it, but you can use it. It's kosher, because it's nice and tam l'fgam. But in this situation, the chiltis somehow merging together with the shamnunis that's inside the sakin is going to create a nice tam l'shvach, and it's for that reason it's going to be awesome. Another halacha related to chiltis. Avdei the Rav Levi have a kamazabin chiltisa. Rav Levi had a eved that used to sell chiltis. Kinoch nafshi the Rav Levi. When Rav Levi passed away, also the coming came to Rabbi Yochanan. Omele, they asked him, Maulim mizbamine, are we allowed to trust the eved of Rav Levi, or are we not allowed to trust the eved of Rav Levi? Meaning, is Rav Levi selling us kosher chiltis or not? What does it mean, non-kosher chiltis? Maybe he's buying it from Rav Kechavim and he's flipping it to us. He's reselling it to us. So is this something that we're allowed to buy? Or is this something that we're not allowed to buy? Amar Luz Rav Yechon told them, Avdei shel chaver hareu kechaver. The eved of a chaver is like a chaver, and for that reason, this is going to be okay. So just two things that are worth mentioning, really just segueing into this next part of the daf. And that is, first of all, what's a chaver? What's a chaver? So the concept of a chaver in Shas is usually found in one or two settings. Either it's in the world of Tumah V'Tahira. So we know there were people that were Nizr and Tumah V'Tahira, and there were people that were not Nizr and Tumah V'Tahira. The ones that were Nizr and Tumah V'Tahira were known as Chaverim, a Chaver. The ones that were not Nizr and Tumah V'Tahira were known as the Amiratzim. Another setting that you found in it was in the laws of Trumas and Maestras. So there were people that we know were Nizr and Trumas and Maestras, there were those that were not. There's a whole Masechta that was created because of the fact that there were people that were not Nizr and in Trumas Ma'isris, Mesachas Tamai, right? But either way, the Chavr was the one that was careful in Trumas Ma'isris, whereas Dama Oritz was not. Had you become a Chavr, so it was actually a process. You had to be Mekabel Chaveris. You had to do it in front of a Bezdin. This was a big deal, right? You don't just become a Chavr. You have to literally be accepted, and we have to assume that moving forward now, you're going to be a Chavr. Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha is that the eved of a chaver is treated like a chaver. Chiddush. That if a chaver owns an eved kanani, even though you would think the eved kanani is chashen on things, avdu bafkeir nichale, right? Even though he's chayv and mitzvahs, but we know he's not always doing what he's supposed to do. But at the same time, when it comes to this inyan, the eved of a chaver is a chaver. So said Rabbi Yochanan, if the eved of a chaver is a chaver, that means he becomes so trustworthy, he has an emunus, even regarding areas where a lot of people were not trusted, Tumah V'Tahira, and regarding Trumas HaMaisers. So if that's the case, if you want to buy chiltis from the eved of a chaver, you could trust him 100% in good faith that what he's selling you now is kosher. I mean, you can't just buy chiltis, you have to know that the person's an erelicha person. But if the eved of a chaver is a chaver, in the literal sense, when it comes to Tumah V'Tayra and Trumas HaMaisris, so too is something that you would be able to trust when it comes to this area of Allah as well. It says on this note, Rav Huna Bar Menyumi Zav and Tcheltim Incha Debesi, the Rav Amr Chasida. Rav Huna Bar Menyumi once bought Tcheles from Incha Debesi, the wife of Rav Amr Chasida. Also, the Kamad Rav Yosef, he came to Rav Yosef and he wanted to know, can I trust Rav Amr Chasida's wife that what she sold me is real Tcheles or not? Now, for this, also, we have to have a little bit of an appreciation of just the historical point, and that is once upon a time, all Yidden wore Tcheles. Today, some do, some don't. But once upon a time, everybody did. And not just that, there was, and the day, a fraudulent type of Tcheles. So Tcheles has to come from the Chilazin. There's a whole bunch of different simonim, what exactly it is, right? Hence the whole debate today. But the bottom line is that it seems that there was a certain dye, the Gemara talks about this in a bunch of places, that looked very similar to Tcheles, but it wasn't the real thing. And if you dyed your chutin with that, it was treif. It was known as Kala Ilan. And they were so similar, that the only time you were able to buy this dye is if you knew the person was a falasach person. Because otherwise, it could be this person's really selling you the fake, which was much cheaper. And, you know, for him, he's selling it to you retail. But the bottom line is, you couldn't just walk and buy tchelos from anybody because you have to make sure that you're not being sold the fake. Either way, so Rav Huna Bar Menyumi bought tchelos from the wife of Rav Chasida. So he meets Rav Yosef and he tells Rav Yosef, tell me, can I trust that this is kosher tcheles or not? So the Gemara says, they have a biyadi. He didn't know. So Pogav Echanan Chayta. Punkt. This Yid, Rav Huna Bar Menyumi, bumped into Chanan the tailor. So he said, you know something? Let me go over to the tailor. The tailor might know. And even though the tailor is not necessarily a Rashke Bahag, but this is his geschäft. So there's a very good chance that, you know, he has a psak from, you know, Ramosha, from one of the big poiskim, and he knows how he's supposed to operate his business. So he goes over to him, and he tells him, you know, I asked Rabbi Yosef the Shaila, Rabbi Yosef didn't know, I'm wondering if you know. So his first response was, Amale Yosef Anya Minale. Says, how would Yosef the Arman have an answer to this question? So this line's a little tzarech beer. Why would he even talk that way? Right? That seems like unprovoked personal foul, right? So that's something that requires a little bit of hasbara. But either way, then he told him like this. But I'll tell you the halach. He said, "Bedidi hava ufta. Dezavni tcheltim into the base the rabnoi yachud rabchi barab. I once bought tcheles from the bnei bayis, from the wife of rabnoi, who was a brother of rabchi barab. Vasoy the kamei the rab nasna, and I asked rab nasna this question: is it okay or is it not okay? And like have it be your day. He, believe it or not, it's amazing. He didn't even know the answer to this question. I saw the coming to read the Maragrunya, and then I went to read the Maragrunya, and that's the great Rav Yehuda. And Amali told me, Nafles Lididi, he says, ah, you know something? I know the answer. You're reminding me now. Hachi Amashmul is what Shmuel said. Eishas Chaver, Harehi Kechaver. And being that Rav Amr Chasida was a Chaver, so his wife is a Chaver. And Rav Noi, the brother of Chiba Rabba, was a Chaver, so his wife is a Chaver, meaning you could if you could trust the husband, you could trust the wife. Says the Gemara, Tanira Ladu Tan Rabban. This is something that can be supported by the following price. Eishas Chaver, Harehi Kechaver. Right, period. We got it. H is chaver like a chaver. Additionally, avdei shel chaver, hareyu kechaver. The eved of a chaver is like a chaver as well. This is probably the braisa that Rabbi Yochanan quoted a minute ago, right? When he was asked the question about the eved of Rav Levi that was selling chiltas. So, avdei shel chaver is like a chaver. Chaver is shemes, a chaver that dies. Ishtei ubanav nebesoi, hareyim becheskosan, ad sheyichashto. Meaning, the wife of a chaver is like a chaver. But maybe that's only true when the husband's alive. Maybe once the chaver dies, so maybe now the wife of the chaver suddenly loses her status. Says the Braisa, no. Harehem becheskasan ad sheyichashtu. Until proven otherwise, they're still considered to be a chaver. V'chein chatzah shemechem atcheles. If there's a chatzah where people used to sell tcheles, harei becheskas hasheti pasel. So people used to sell in this chatzah tcheles. Sounds like it doesn't even matter who's selling it. But this chatzah, if it has a chazaka that it sells kosher tcheles, so the halach is you're allowed to continue buying. Either way, we have a braisa really for both of the chidushin that we had related to the chaver. Eishas chaver eik a chaver and abdish al chaver eik a chaver. Another braisa. Tan rabbanon. Eishas am ma'aretz and this is the chaver. The wife of an am ma'aretz who now married a chaver. V'chein bitoy shal am ma'aretz and this is the chaver. Or the daughter of an am ma'aretz that marries a chaver. V'chein abdish al am ma'aretz and nimkel the chaver. Or the eved of an am ma'aretz that was sold to a chaver. Kulon tzrichen lekabel divrei chaveris. They all have to be makabel chaveris. So again, in order to be a chaver, you have to be makabel chaveris. What about the wife of a chaver, who we said is kechaver? Well, if she was previously married to an amaretz, or even if she was previously the daughter of an amaretz, if she comes from a shtub of amaratzim, So you don't say, oh, because she got married, all of a sudden you become a chaver. You actually have to be mekabel v'chaveres. Aval eishes chaver. What would be the reverse? What would be if there was a woman that was an eishes chaver, and now all of a sudden she married an amaretz? V'chem pita yishal chaver, shenisis lamaretz, the daughter of a choshver shiva who marries an amaretz. V'chem avdo yishal chaver, shenisis lamaretz. Well, this person was the eved of a chaver who now was sold to an amaretz. Ein atzrich lekabel divi chaveres l'chatchilo. They do not have to mekabel divi chaveres again, divi rameyer. Meaning, someone that was always an eishes chaver, she had been mekabel chaveres already. She's the daughter of a chaver. He was an eved of a chaver. If now all of a sudden they are associated or related to or married to someone that's an amaretz, being that l'chatchila they came from the family of chaver, they wouldn't have to be mekabel chaveres again. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Afin tzrich lekabel chaveres l'chatchila, they would have to be mekabel chaveres again. Meaning, even though this woman, for example, was once married to a chaver, that's very nice, but now she's married to an amaretz, and being that she's married to an amaretz, she has a din of an eishes amaretz, and if she wants to be a chaver, she has to be mekabel all over again. The Gemara says, v'chein hay Rav Shimon Elazar Omer. Rav Shimon Elazar used to say, ma'isa, there was a story b'isha achshin nisus a chaver, a woman that married a chaver, v'ahisa kosheres lo tefillin al yadai, and because her husband was very he was a heilige yid, she used to put on tefillin for him. This is l'muchis, and then she ended up marrying a muchis, so we know the tax collector is like the worst person in Shas, right? So she married a muchis, v'hoisek kosheres like kishrei muchis, and instead of selling or tying tefillin, she used to tie kishrei muchis. It's a play on words, but she used to tie these shtaris, these fraudulent shtaris. All of a sudden, she got involved in all this bad business. Meaning, what do you see from here? Yeah, when she was married to a chaver, she was an eishes chaver. But then a minute later, she was an eishes amaretz. Right? She was an ishek sheira, but the problem is, her husband first was a good guy, then he was a bad guy. So it says, it's a riot to Rabbi Yehuda said, that if someone's an eishes chaver, now she becomes an eishes amaretz, the halacha is that he would have to be mekabel chaveros all over again. Another Gemara. Amar Rav. Rav said, chavis aser b'choysem echad, champag muta b'choysem echad. So the words chavis and champag in Rav's statement are both acronyms. We'll see in a minute what they stand for. But chavis is aser b'choysem echad, champag is muter b'choysem echad. What does this even mean? What this means is that you have a yid that wants to send one of these food items to another yid, but he's going to send it through any Yehudi. He's going to send it through a non-Jew. So if he's sending the chavis, ches beis yotzav, then asa b'chayisam echad. It only has one simen, one seal, that's not enough. You have to have two chaysamois. If it's champag, it's ches mem pei gimel, then you have to have a seal, but one seal's enough. Muta b'chayisam echad. So the Gemara says, what is chavis? Cholav, basar, yayin, and tcheles. These things are asurim b'choysem echad. What is champag? Chiltis, murias, pas, and gvina. Those things are mutarim b'choysem echad. Those, if you have one simen, in and of itself is going to be enough. So, what's pashup shan in all these things? So, as it relates to chavis, chalav, basar, yayin, and tcheles. Basar and tcheles, Rashi says, the reason one chaysim is not enough is because they're very expensive. Basar, meat, is expensive, and tcheles, we mentioned earlier, was very expensive. That's why you had all these knockoffs. But the point is that it was very expensive. Because it's expensive, the guy's going to be carrying it, he's somewhat incentivized to take it and maybe swap it out with something inferior. And so for that reason, even one chaysim is not enough. You would have to have two chaysimis. Yayin, back in the day, was not so expensive. But at the same time, the reason yayin needs a second chaysim is because of the concern that a guy is in close proximity to wine. He wants to be menasech yayin to his getchka. And as a result, there's a chashash that he may have done something with the wine, yayin esach. So if you have two chaysamos, then it's going to be okay. What about milk? So the Gemara is going to ask, why is milk on this level where it needs a second chaysam? As it relates to the other things, chiltis, murias, passing vino. So yeah, there's a concern that the guy may have swapped out the chiltis with his non-kosher chiltis. I mean, that's a problem. Murias is a problem. Pas akim is a problem. Gvinas akim is a problem. But one chaysam is going to be enough. You're not going to need two chaysamos. Now, the next four lines we're going to skip right now. Rashi says that really these lines of Gemara are out of place and they belong in a few lines from now. So we're going to hold that thought, and we're going to skip to where it says Virav. Right, the Gemara, Virav. Ma'ishna gvina d'loy tarchum zayif chalav. Nami d'loy tarchum zayif. How is it that chalav made it to the first list, chavis, right? That's the ches of chavis. We need a double wrap, as opposed to gvina, chaysa mechad is going to be enough. What's the milk and gvina? It just doesn't seem to have any significance as it relates to why we'd be more concerned or less concerned. So the Gemara said, you're right. Amrav Kahana said, apik chalav Va'ayel chatichas dag she'im bosemen. That you have to take the word cholov out, and the ches does not stand for cholov. But you know what it stands for? Chatichas dag she'im bosemen. A whole shtickle Torah. It stands for a shtick fish. That's what it stands for. A chatichas dag that has no. Frank the Gemara. If ches is fish and beis is basar, isn't that hainu basar? It's the same thing. Gemara says no. Trei gavni basar. One's a better type. One's the real meat. The other one is the fish. It's not mamish the same thing. Either way, says the Gemara, that's the pshat. So again, the ches we thought was cholov. Cholov, had cholov get there? And besides, what's the difference between cholov and gvina? That's in the other. Gemara says you're right. So what does really the chavis stand for? Chatichas dog she'im boy simin. Beis is basar. Yud is yayin, the tough is tchelis. As it relates to the second list, it's what we said it was. It's chiltis murias pas ugvina. Says the Gemara, Shmuel Omar, Shmuel said, he had a different list. Again, whenever there's Rav, we know there's Shmuel. So what did Rav say? He said, chavis and champag. Shmuel says, not chavis, but bias. He deletes the ches, that's asa b'chaysa mecha, that needs two chaysamos. And it's not champag, but rather what it is machag. Mutter b'choysen echad. Now, what do these things stand for according to Shmuel? So the bias is basa yayin and tchelis. They're asur b'choysen echad. They need a double seal. And the machag is murias chiltis and gvina. Mutar b'choysen echad. They don't need the second seal. Says the Gemara, what's the cheshman? Meaning, what's the reason that according to Shmuel, he deletes one from the list? So the Gemara says like this. As it relates to chavis, where Rav had Cholov, Basa, Yayin, Tcheles, and Shmuel only has Basa, Yayin, Tcheles. So what's he taking out? He's taking out the Ches. What's the Ches? So first we thought the Ches stood for Cholov, but we came around that it stands for Chatichas Dag She'im Bo Simen. Says Shmuel, I don't have in my list Chatichas Dag She'im Bo Simen. And the reason is because Hainu Basar, it's the same as Basar. Now what did Rav say to that question, Hainu Basar? He said, Trei Gavni Basar. Trei Gavni Basar, Lo Yaminan. As it relates to Trei Gavni Basar, we don't say that. Now, if you look at your Gemara, it stops here, right? Now we're moving along to Tana Rabbanan. But Rashi says this is where you have to insert the few lines of Gemara that we skipped earlier. So going up a couple of lines. And that is, as it relates to the second part, and that is Champag. Rav had those four, whereas Shmuel had Machag. So what was Rav's four? It was Chiltis Murias Pasugvina. What does Shmuel have? Shmuel has only machag, which is murias, chiltis, and gvina. Which one does he not have? He doesn't have pas. So we have to explain why Shmuel doesn't have pas in that list. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, because pas l'may nechashlo, there's nothing to be worried about pas. There's nothing to be worried about pas, and that's why he doesn't even say mutar b'chayse mechad. It sounds like you don't even need a So why? Because imish shemechlufe. Because what would you be worried about? You worry that people might be machlefit. Why would people be machlefit? Karira bechamima made the idea. Meaning, people know the difference between hot bread and cold bread. I mean, why would somebody go ahead and just switch the bread? So you'll tell me, because maybe one is fresher, one is hotter, and one is colder. Well, people are going to know the difference. So you're not going to get away with your little spiel. The chitim is airy. Maybe one is chitim, the other is sayrim. Chitim is better than sayrim. That too made the idea. People know the difference. And Iki Adadi, and if they're the same, Kivin the Ika Chaysam Echalei Tarcha Mazayif. As long as there's one Chaysam, a person's not going to be Mazayif. But the point is, this is L'chayr Pash Pshat, that Avadoch, you need a Chaysam for Pas, and a Chaysam Echad is going to be enough. But it seems like it was so Pashat, and it's for that reason that he didn't even mention it. He's only mentioning things that there's a little bit of a Chiddush, that he would have thought maybe you need Shtei Chaysam Mois, but Chaysam Echad is going to be enough. But Pas, being that there's no Svar in the world that you should need two Chaysam Mois, it's so obvious that a Chaysam Echad would be enough, so that's why instead of him saying Champag, which has the pay in there, he took out the pay. So according to Shmuel, we take out the Ches from Chavis, because it's included in Basa, Trei Gavni Basa Le'em Rinan, and we take out the pay from Champag, because it's Poshet that Pas B'chayis HaMechod would be enough. Another Brisa, Tanu Rabbanan. Ein Loikhin Yamach Machag B'Soryo. You're not allowed to buy the foods that are symbolized in the acronym Yamach Machag in Soryo. So, this is discussing buying from a Yid the foods of Yamach and Machag in the city of Soryo. Now these Yidin, as we'll see in a second, were not chashud when it came to Machalas Asuras. but they were kosher to sell people machalas asuras. So you'll never catch them eating non-kosher food. They keep a kosher kitchen. But lifnei evel esita michshol, that's something that they were chashen on. Which, by the way, is a theme. You see, there were people that were chashen on lifnei evel for some reason. Lifnei evel is a lav in the Torah. But for some reason, people didn't take it as seriously as they take other lavin. And the Yidden in Surya were chashen on lifnei evel. So in a commercial setting, you wouldn't be allowed to buy the foods that are merumes and yamach machag. Okay, what are those foods? So the Gemara says like this. The Yud is lo yayin, the Mem is v'loy murius, and the Ches is v'loy chalof. The next mem is v'loy melech skalduris. We'll see more about that in a second. The second ches is v'loy chiltis, and the gimel is v'loy gvina. These things they're choshen on, and as a result, they may be selling you the versions that are non-kosher. Might be non-kosher wine, non-kosher murius, non-kosher chalav, non-kosher melech, non-kosher chiltis, non-kosher gvina. And for that reason, this is something you have to be concerned. Element I'm stating that if you're buying it from someone that you know for a fact is nemo when it comes to kashrus, the proverbial chaver, then it's okay. V'kulan im nesarech, it's balabayis muter. This is interesting. That if you're eating in their house, then already it's going to be mutter. Why? Because if you're eating in their house, then they're giving you from their own kitchen. And being that they keep a kosher kitchen, so in that instance, it's going to be fine. And the Gemara says, Messiah Le the Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This supports something that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Shigat Le Balabayas Le Beis I'm mutter. If somebody from Surya would send you to your house one of these foods, and you want to take it, you're allowed to take it. I mean, if you're going to go buy it from them, then it's not okay. But if he sends it to you as a gift, it's coming from his kitchen, it's fine. My time, or what's the reason? Because Balabayas leshavi keter v'achli sur. The Balabayas himself is for sure eating kosher. And the chimishadli mimai da'och mishadli. We assume that when he's selling, or when he's sending it to you from his kitchen. And being that he keeps a kosher kitchen, it's okay. So the Gemara says that really, this brace and Reb Shlomo Levi are saying the same thing. That even though these people were chashud when it came to selling, but at the same time, if you going to get it from their kitchen directly, then it's going to be fine. The Mishnah also mentioned umelach salkundris. So the Gemara says this is something that's asa b'achila. My melach salkundris, what does this even mean? Amar Abiyudah Mashmul, melach shekol salkundre roimi oichle noisa. It's the type of salt that all the bakers of roimi used to use. Now, what would be the problem? So it seems the problem was that they used to mix kirvei dogim tmeim. They used to mix the innards of non-kosher fish. So being that you have this taruvas, it's going to be an issue. Staying in that, the Gemara is going to bring a braisa that elaborates. Tanu Rabbanu. Melach salkundris shchayrasura. If it's black, it's also levonim mutaritz. If it's white, it's mutadivir ameir. Rabbi Yehuda Amiruda said just the opposite. The levonim, the white one is asura. The shchayr, the black one's mutaritz. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Mishum Rabbi Chinim ben Gamliel, loymer, zuvazu asura, they're both going to be also. Amar Rabba bar Bachanim Rabbi Yoichan. The divri Amir levon asura, according to Mandam, that said that it's the white one that's also kirvei dog levonim tmeim muravim. It's also because, again, kirvei dogim tmeim, like we said a second ago, but it must be because it has a taruvus now of the white version of it. The divrei oimer shchayr asur kuint mandam that says that it's the black one that's also kivid dogon shchayim tmeim urabim, but because there's a concern that the black one might be mixed. And the divrei oimer zuvazu asur kuint mandam that says that they're both asur. It's because zev zem urabim, but we're concerned that either one, meaning they're both asur, because again the levonim has the levonim one and the shchayim has the shchayim one. Amar Rabba Avol Mishum Rabbi Chinir Ben Gamliel Zokin Echad Hoy B'Shchuna Seinu said there was an old person, an alta guy that lived in our shchuna. Shayim Machlik Paneh B'Shum Chazir. He used to take this melach kundris and he used to smear it with the fat, literally, of a chazir. So again, there was something off with this salt. Everyone knew that. Chazal had a Messiah, Rabbi Chan named Rabbi Yochanan, was related to Kirvei Dogen. Rabbi Avo said, I remember seeing an alter guy, he used to put chazer in it. But either way, you can see why Chazal said, this is not something that we should be eating. And then finally, one last Gemara, Hare Elu Asurin, Ve'ein Isurin Isurana. So these were the last words in the Mishnah. So again, if you look back at the Mishnah started, then we had a whole list. And the Mishnah concluded, so it's verbatim. The Mishnah repeated that line twice. Obviously, it's coming to teach me a Pesach Chiddush. So the Gemara says, the second time it mentions it, what's coming to be mimayit? Right? There's some Yusuf here, some mir here. What is that? So the Gemara says like this, coming full circle. According to Chizkiyah, so was Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah said that when it said in the Mishnah, Kvashim Shedarkon, Kvashim where the derech is to soak it in wine, the halach is its aser, so it was only when it's only the derech to do it. But if it's Yodua, in that point, it's not only going to be aser be achila, but it's going to be aser ba'na as well. So if that's the case, you could say that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach me. It's the Me'ute Biyodua. If I know for a fact that is Yayin, over there the halach of the Mishnah is not true. Meaning, that's something very similar to the case of the Mishnah, but there it is Asur Bana. It's not any Isur Nisra Ana. It's yeah, Isur Nisra Ana. And what is that? What is that thing? It's referring to where we know for sure there's Yayin. Ulu Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was Chaylik. If you remember, Rabbi Yochanan said that, no, even if you know for sure there's Yayin, but still the halacha is, it's going to be mutar. So what then is this coming to be memayet? Lamute murius and kvinis beisu naiki. It's coming to be memayet, murius and kvinis beisu naiki, to teach me that those things are not only asab achilo, but they're also asab ana, stomach rameir, and the chiddush is that this is a stam mishnah like rameir. Meaning, the fact that murius and kvinis beisu naiki might be asab ana, that we know, it's shitas rameir in the previous mishnah, chavtes on the base, but there was a machloik rameir in the chachamim. If this is what the Mishnah is coming to tell me, it's coming to teach me, Dafka, these things are not Asabana, but there's something else that you would have thought is not Asabana that really is Asabana. And what is that Murius and Kvinas Beisunaki? That means this is a Stam Mishnah, because there's no Machloikas in this Mishnah. This would then be a Stam Mishnah, Kira Meir, which would make it a Machloikas Vachkach Stam, which has implications on Halacha. But either way, the Gemara says that would be the other option, the alternative of what maybe the Mishnah is coming to teach me when it says for a second time, Hare Elu Asurin, the Suran, or the Eini Surin Isra'na. This concludes really the second Mishnah of these three Mishnayas. The next Mishnah is going to discuss Dvarim that are Mutarin Bachila, things that you would have thought maybe are Asar, but they're really Mutar Bachila. The first one is of particular interest, and that is Cholav Shechovay Akum the Yisrael Rayeyu, which by the way, may or may not, but probably yeah, will lead into the sugya of Chalav Akum and Chalav Stam. That's coming again in a day or two. But as it relates to Reit for today, just a Dover Chadash that I saw, that's Dover Be'itei Matoiv. So today was Rosh Chodesh Av, which of course, Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, it's the Zman where Yidden start thinking a little bit more about Churban Beis HaMikdash and hopefully the Geula that should come in here be amenu. The Rambam in Hilchas Matnas Aniyim, and this is in Perik Yud, Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam's talking about tzedakah, and he discusses in great detail the virtues of tzedakah. We once mentioned that the Ramban, in his Drasha on Koheles, he quotes this Rambam. He says a very interesting lashon. He says, the Rambam, who was a kamtzan, right. The Rambam, who was a Kamtzen, was very, very meirich when he spoke about the virtues of tzedakah in the beginning of Perek Yud Hilchas Matnas Aniyim. And there were those that mistakenly thought that what the Ramban meant when he referred to the Rambam as a Kamtzen is he was literally a Kamtzen. He didn't, a tzchnishkalos kasten, right? And he didn't like spending money. And the Rambam was somehow a Kamtzen, right? We once mentioned, if you remember the raid bite on Yiddish, Hasaf Akdesh Yiddish from Rabbi David Kohn Shlita. So one of the lines that we said over from him is that he sometimes says, if someone's a kamtzen, he says, as a kamtzen be derived. He said, what's derived? He said, well, derived at kleina hasogus. You know, at kleina hasogus on the side of the Rambam. A kamtzen like that. But the Rambam, to say that the Rambam was a kamtzen, and this is what people understood. And we mentioned that others said, there was a big tumult about this. That's not what the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant to say that the Rambam, he speaks so b'lashonei azov, he's a kamtzen when it comes to words. But in the beginning of Perek Yud Hilchas Matnas Aniyim, the Rambam is so mairich and he's so marchiv where he talks about all the incredible things about tzedakah. But one of the things that the Rambam says is, ve'ein Yisrael nigolin elabas chosat tzedakah. That at the end of the day, the geula is going to come in the schos of tzedakah. Shenemar tzioin b'mishpati padeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. That you want to know what Yidden need to do in order to merit the geula, ein Yisrael. We've mentioned in the past that the Vilna Gaon said that why is it that the Geula Asito is going to come in the schus of Tztaka? He said because the Mishnah says al shloisha dvar ma'olam oimed al ha'teira al avoida v'al gmilus chasadim. We know when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we lost the Amud of Avoida. We have Avoida, we have Tefillah Avoida, Shebelev, but it's not the real Avoida. The real Avoida was the Avoida that we had in the Beis HaMikdash. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we lost the Amud of Avoida. But the Gaon said that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we didn't only lose the Amud of Avoida, we also lost the Amud of Torah. Because the Pasuk says in Eicha, we just spoke about it the other day, Malka v'sareh b'agoyim ein Torah. So really, from the three things that the world stands on, the three pillars, the only pillar that we have b'shleimus today is Chesed. It's tzedakah. to do the avoyde b'shleimus today u'mepnei chatoeinu galinu me'artzeinu ve'ina nachnu yuchoylim lalis. It's not something we could properly do. To learn Torah today b'shleimus, you can't do that. That's the year 4000. Malko v'sareh bagoyim, we're living in a world of ain Torah. So you can learn, avada, we try our best, but you can't really do it on the level it needs to be done. But chesed churban beis hamikdash didn't chop it with that. So that's really the only avoyde, or the only amud, that we're able to do in a proper way. And it's for that reason, Ein Yisrael Negalin, Ela B'schus HaTzdakah. So on that note, I bought a sefer this week. Don't even try finding it. It's called Birchas Hareach. And the sefer Birchas Hareach was written by Hagoyen Rabbi Yosef Chaim. Hareach is a play on Rabbi Yosef Chaim. And it's referring to Rabbi Yosef Chaim in Baghdad. It's the Baal Ben Ishchai. Before I start this, I just want to give a shout out to Nachi Weinstein and a little shout out to the Sfarm Chatter podcast, because he's the one who told me about the Sefer and the background behind it. It's mamish fascinating. But either way, so I got the Sefer. I brought it up with me to the Berg for Shabbos, and I was going through it a little bit. And I saw that in Parsha Shoiftim, right in the beginning of Parsha Shoiftim, so the Ben Ishchai, he's going on the pasuk tzedek tzedek tirdoif leman tichya v'yirashta es ha'aretz. That's the pasuk tzedek tzedek tirdoif leman tichya v'yirashta es ha'aretz. He said, "What's pshat in this pasuk tzedek tzedek?" First of all, the double lashon, and if you're going to do that, leman tichya. So what's going on over here? So he said pshat based on the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing churban bayis rishon. We've gone through this Gemara together as a chabur several times. But I'm picking up in the middle of the Gemara. Gemara says, "Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu leGavriel. Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Gavriel, Leich, I want you to go. Urishayim al mitzchan shel tzadikim tov shel diyoy. I want you to put on the foreheads of the tzadikim the letter tov, and it should be in black ink. Va'al mitzchan shel rishayim, and on the foreheads of the rishayim, I want you to put a tov shel dam. I want you to put a tov of blood. Why the tzadikim diyoy? And why for the Rishon should it be blood? And the Gemara brings a whole exchange between the Midas Adin and the Malachi Asharis. It's very churbanic what's going on over there. But this is taking place mamish circa churban bayis rishon, where Gavriel has this job to go and literally mark everybody. Either you're a tzaddik or a rasha, and you're going to get a tuff on your head. The question is, are you going to have a black tuff or are you going to have a red tuff? And either way, that's going to determine whether you're going to live or you're going to die. I ain't sure what's going on in the Gemara. So at the end of the Gemara, there's a little bit of a postscript. And the Gemara says, umayishno tuff. Why the letter tuff? Why not a gimel? Amar Rav said, because tuff is a remes to the word tichye or tamos. So tuff, with deciding now who's going to live, who's going to die. So he said, the ois tuff means other tichye, other tamos, and mean that it means other tichye, other tamos. So it's for that reason it was a letter tuff. So the Ben Ishchai in his Birch Sarech says as follows. He says that we know, the Pasuk says, Utztaka tatzel mimavis. Right? Staka, we know, is tatzel mimavis. Truth is, when a yid gives staka, there's really two components to staka. Number one, you open your wallet. But number two, you're also supposed to be mafayis, the person that you're giving tzedakah to. And truth is, it's a mafurish Gemara. The Gemara says in Bava Basrit Aftes on the base, Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol Anoisein Pruta La'oni. If somebody gives a pruta to an Araman, Misparich B'sheish Brachas, he's going to be gebenched with six brachas. But if somebody doesn't only give tzedakah, but he's also mafayis, the person B'dvarim, then Misparich Ba'achas Esrei Brachas. Then what he's going to get is not six brachas, but he's actually going to get 11 brachas. But this Gemara is basically the blueprint of how you give tzedakah. Number one, you're nois and prutolani, that's obvious. But also, you have to be mefaisei bedvarim. That means, really, when a person gives tzedakah, he's doing two things. Number one, there's the nois and asina. And number two, there's a deeper component to it as well. First in the Gemara, I'm mefaisei bedvarim. It's part and parcel of the tzura of how you give tzedakah. One is six brachas, and the other one is 11 brachas. But either way, it's said to Ben Ishchai, I'm going to tell you a little bit of a remez here, because tzedakah is bigamatria 199, which means with the koilel, it's really 200, right? We know the koilel, by the way, this is not some gimmick, the koilel, right? The koilel comes from the Rishonim, but either way, Trubas HaDeshin talks about it, comes from the Rishonim, gematria is The koilel is a real thing. But anyway, so tzedakah is begamatching 199. With the koilel, it's 200. Tzedakah, when a yid gives, you have to do two things. You have to be nice and prut to la'ani, then you misbarach b'sheish brachas, and you have to be mefaisa b'dvarim. It's two completely different components. If you do it properly, you're going to have tzedakah and tzedakah. Tzedakah and tzedakah is going to be 200 plus 200. You're going to end up with 400. So said the Ben Ishchai, that Yesh Lemet, there's a little bit of a remez over here, that tzedakah is tatzel mimaves, that if a person gives tzedakah, which is merumas in the number 400, it's tatzel mimaves, and that's this ois tough that is bigamatria 400, and you could be other tichye, or you could be a tamos. So you see that the ois tough, it's the number 400 that's going to determine whether you're going lemisi, you're going l'chayim, and he says, Ashena remez in the Sefer Birchas Areach, and that is he adds one knech. He says that tamus is with a kometz, right? Tamus. Tichya is with a chirik. Tichya. So he says, how do you go from being a tamus to a tichya? It's by giving tztaka. He says, if a person is not a kamtsin, if you yourself are not a kamtsin, you're not koimetz, you go ahead and you give tzedakah, then you're going to go from the kometz of a tamus to the chirik of the tichya. But either way, as the Ben Ishchai, that's pshan in this pasuk. He said, tzedek, tzedek, tirdoif leman tichya. That if a person is going to go ahead, he's going to give tzedek and tzedek, you're going to give tzedakah and you're going to give tzedakah. So it's going to be 200 plus 200, you're going to have 400. You're going to take the tamus, you're going to make it into a tichya. That tof is going to go from a tof with a kometz to a tof with a chirik. Very nice. This is what the Ben Ishchai said. Again, I was just partially leafing through. Very nice. What came to mind, parenthetically, is two Gemaras. One is the Gemara Masechtis, very much Me'inyan L'inyan Ba'is Inyan. One is the Gemara Masechtis Ksuba Staf Mem Tesam Adbeis, where the Gemara tells a story. Ki Hada Rava Kafiel Rav Nasan Barami Va'apik Minei Arba Me'ez Uzi L'Tztaka. Gemara says that Rava once forced Rav Nasan Barami to give Tztaka. Force them to give. It's a big chiddush that you can force someone to give tzedakah. Right? One of the most famous Tosfos in Shas is on this Gemara right here. Tosfos has a kash. How can you force someone to give tzedakah? The pasuk says if you give tzedakah, you're going to be rewarded with ashiris ki begal adav azay yivrecha Hashem alekecha, which means it's a mitzvah say shemat and schar betzida. And we know any mitzvah say shemat and schar betzida. What's the halacha? Ain't kaifin. You're not allowed to force. So this is a famous Tosfos. But al kaponim, Rava forced Rav Nasan Barami to give tzedakah. And how much did he schlep out of him? It sounds like he literally had to schlep it out. How much did he schlep out? Arba meya zuzi. It was 400 zuzim. It's another Gemara. Also in Ksubis, Samech Zayin Amadeis. The Gemara says, Mar ukfa hava anya b'shevavuse. There was an Arman that lived in his neighborhood. Davirogel ishturile. His custom was, he used to send him arba meya zuzi kol mal yom de kippur. Every Arab Yom Kippur used to send him 400 zuzi. We spoke out many years ago that the Ben Ishchai in his Ben Yoyada, on this Gemara here, Ksubis Samech Zayin Amadeis, he says, what's going on over here? $400 seems to be the magic number. I heard of Tzein Mulchai, Tzvanzig Mulchai, right? Some of these Rebbesha numbers. But where is this? You know, you give $400, it's a funny number. When did that become a Jewish number? So he says, I don't know. But I think maybe the pshat is that we know Ayin Hara, or Ayin Ra, is Begematria 400. It comes from the Rishon Rabbeinu. Bechaya says, that's why the Yidden had to be Mitzrayim for 400 years, because Avram Avinu got an Ayin Hara. And Ephraim, the Baal HaTurim, says in Parashas Chayasara is Begematria 400, because he had an Ayin Ra, Chazal say. But the bottom line is, Ayin Hara, we know, is always Mispar 400. We said, that's why Rav, who's always the one that's worried about Ayin Hara throughout Shas, how long did he live? He lived 400 years, based on Ayin Hara, this in you. But Al Kaparos, it says, the Ben Yehoyada, in his Pirish on Agadat, on this Gemara, Ksuba Samach Zayin Amadeus, he says, maybe that's why the Olam used to give $400. He says, maybe they were giving 400. Why the number 400? Kineged Ayin Hara. That's the reason. I think, like this Birchas HaReach, this is the Ben Ishchai himself. It's possible why they gave 400. He said, 400, that's the gematria of tzedakah. Well, tzedakah times two, mit the kailos. That's the way he's supposed to give tzedakah. And that's the tough mamish that goes from tamuz to tichya, tzedakah tatzel mimavis. This whole Birchas HaReach over here, I think, is very much a tzushtel to that Ben Yoyada, Tzarech Bir. I have to look at it again. I don't have the Ben Yoyada with me now. Chamnish Tesfurim yet, but it could be he does say it as an inami over there. I don't remember. But I'll go upon him. Either way, that's the first ta'ara that I saw going through the Birchas HaReach. Then I saw another thing. This is mamish, a dover nifla. This is in Parshas Vaschanan. So we know Parshas Vaschanan, it's coming up. Shabbos Nachum, let's talk about Shabbos Nachum. We're ready. Getting a little ahead of ourselves. But Vaschanan al Hashem, Be'isa Hilemar. Right? So we know Moshe Rabbeinu davened al Hashem. Vaschanan al Hashem, Be'isa Hilemar. What was the tefillah? He wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. So everyone asked the kasha, what is the word Lemar? Vaschanan al Hashem. Right? What does lemar mean? Right? What does lemar always mean? So lemar either means lechemar, right? Go tell. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, right? Azoyt zogin. Guys, go tell the Yidden what I'm about to tell you. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to Hashem. There's a Sefri that says, that wherever it says the word lemar, it means this is something that's not only negated today, it's negated l'doiros, future generations. So I got once heard from a big baldarshan. He said, we know that no tefillah goes unanswered. And even though in real time it looks like, you know, maybe someone down for a chayla and the chayla didn't have a refuah, looks like the tefillah wasn't answered. But really, any time a person davens, every single tefillah, every tear, it never goes. Moshe Rabbeinu davened tefillahs kaminya v'aschanon. He davened tefillahs that he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. Tefillahs seemingly were never answered, right? Moshe Rabbeinu never came to Eretz Yisrael. So I once heard that was v'aschanon Hashem be'isahi leimar. That Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs in real time weren't answered. Abel l'doiris leimar, these tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu, yidden having Yeshua's adayim hazeh. Because of the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu v'aschanon Hashem be'isahi leimar. But anyway, this is the kasha that the Ben Ish Chai, Rabbi Yosef Chaim from Baghdad, asks right here in his Sefer Brichos Areiach. So he says as follows: V'nira loyma b'siyata d'shmaya behekdem mashakosa b'sefer Chanukah Satora. Who wrote the Chanukah Satora? The Rebbe Peschel. He says, "And is damin liyadi l'fisha." He said, "I just recently got my hands on the Sefer Mamish l'fisha, and he said, I want to tell you what I saw in that Sefer." So the Rebbe Peschel brings a medrash. The medrash says, "Omar Moshe." So Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading. He's trying to come up with a strategy. He very badly wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, but Hashem's not answering his tefillah. So Moshe tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kasafta b'say rascha, you wrote in the Torah that if a person's in Eved Ivri, and then the Eved Ivri goes to his mess, his mamash hafalik. V'amah, he says, V'amah yoyimaro Eved, if the Eved says, Ahafti es adoini es ishti v'es bonai, lo yeitzei chavshi. So what's the halacha? The halacha is if a person says that, the rotza, right? He becomes a nirtza and he ends up staying. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem. It's a medrash tanchuma. He says, "Vani ahafti yoischa ve'esponecha ve'eskom ma'asi yodecha." So I'm your eved. You have no right to free me. You have to take me with you in Eretz Yisrael. You have no right. He says, "Why am I different? It's a pasuk in the Torah." V'm omar yoimar eved ahafti es hadoni es ishti ve'esponecha yetzei chavshi. You have no gerecht. The hitch of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the medrash says Hakadosh Baruch Hu answered him. He told him, "Rav loch al toisiv dabrei." I don't want to hear another word from you. I don't want you to say this again. So that said the Rebbe Peschel, it's not 100% clear in the Medrash what was the tshuva. I will understand. He said something very good. So the Rebbe Peschel said like this. He said that Gemara says in Masechta Chidushin Dav Chav Beis that from the fact that it says in the pasuk, "Vim omar yoimar ho'eved," we learn from there at sheyoyim v'yishna that the only time an eved does not go free, if he says ahafti es adoni es ishti ves bana lo yitzei chavshi, is if he says it twice, vim omar yoimaro eved shetzorich lo yimashnei pomim lo yitzei. But if he doesn't say it a second time, then not. So said the Rebbe Reb Heschel that's what Eibishter told him. Moshe Rabbeinu said that I don't understand. Ani ahafti oischa ves banecha ves komasi yodecha lo yitzei chavshi. I don't want you to leave me here. What did Hashem tell him? Rav loch al toisef dabri elai oid bedavra. I said, don't say it a second time. Because if you're going to say it one more time, then I'm stuck. Then I'm not going to have a choice. He says, al toisef dabri elai oid bedavra. So said the Ben Ish Chai, v'eschanon al Hashem be'isahi leimor. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, no, my tefillah was? My tefillah was leimor. I want to be able to say, ahafti es adoini es ishti ves banai lo yitzei chavshi one more time. Give me the opportunity. Give me one more tefillah. Because if I'm going to say it again, then I'm here. Then you can't leave me behind. That was the verse. Chanan al Hashem be'esahi lemer. The Emes says we once spoke at a similar vart from the Hafla that Chassam Sofer brings from his Rebbe. The Hafla that the Hafla said that the Gemara says Chassidim Arishonim Hoyeshonim Shachas Kodem Atfila. Right, they used to wait for an hour before they davened. So the Hafla said, what did they do for that hour? They were Shonim Shachas Kodem. What did they do? So the Hafla said they davened. So they daven, I understand. They were showing Sha'achas Koidim at Tefillah and they daven. So the Afal said, yeah, they daven that they should be able to daven. He said, to be able to daven, right? Tainli Tefillah. It's not so posh for a person to be Zoichet to an Erlich Tefillah. He said, they used to daven, they should be able to daven. So the Afal Taich, that's for Eschanan al Hashem be'isahi leimor. Moshe Rabbeinu daven that he should be able to daven. But Me'inyan le'inyan, said the Ben Ishchai, that's for Eschanan al Hashem be'isahi leimor. He said, a Tefillah leimor. Give me the opportunity to say one more time, Im Omar Yoimar O Eved, Ahafti Either way, just a few ha'aris. Beis Hashem, we're going to revisit the sefer. A few ha'aris that I saw in this new sefer that I just got my hands on called Birchas Areach. So, why is this so interesting? The sefer Birchas Areach got a little bit of a hakdama. So I'm going to tell you why. If you look at the first page of the sefer Birchas Areach, so it was put out by the Sephardic Heritage Museum. They're the ones that put it out. And there's like a one-pager here that tells you the background to the sefer. I'm going to read it verbatim inside. And this was written by the president of the Sephardic Heritage Museum, President Joseph J. Sitt. Dear friends, word for it, Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad is commonly referred to as the Ben Ish Chai, also known as the Ben Ish Chai, after his magnum opus on Jewish law. This great sage, who lived during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, gained world renown for his scholarship and piety. In addition to the Ben Ish Chai, he was the famed author of numerous works. These volumes are considered classics and can be found today in thousands of Jewish homes, synagogues, and yeshivot throughout the world. It is related that out of their deep respect for him, several important members of the Jewish community of Aleppo personally escorted him all the way to Jerusalem when he traveled to the land of Israel in 1869. It is thus with great pride that the Sephardic Heritage Museum presents Birkat HaReach, a work of this great Hacham's Navale on the Humash and Pirkei Abot. The writings that comprise Birkat HaReach were generously provided to the Sephardic Heritage Museum by the Iraqi National Archive. And here's the punchline. This precious work was found in May 2003 by a team of American soldiers in the flooded basement of the Iraqi intelligence building in Iraq. Thanks to the resourcefulness of the United States government in preserving these manuscripts, we are able to share this monumental work with the public. It is my hope and prayer that Birkat HaReach will take its rightful place among the Ben Ish Chai's other monumental works. Sincerely yours, Joseph J. Sitt. Now, on the next page, there's another disclaimer that tells a little bit more of the story. I won't read the whole, but I'll read the second half. It is with a deep sense of appreciation that the Sephardic Heritage Museum thanks and acknowledges the United States Army, the United States government, and the National Archives and Records Administration for heroically saving these writings, together with over 2,700 manuscripts, tens of thousands of communal records, and relics ranging from the 16th to the mid-20th century from certain oblivion. These precious materials were found submerged under 4 feet of water in the basement of the Iraqi intelligence headquarters in May 2003. By the way, this is when Bush attacked Iraq, right? Looking for weapons of mass destruction, which, as far as I know, they never found. But believe it or not, they found in the basement of this intelligence building, headquarters, they found 2,700 manuscripts from the Ben Ish Chai that never saw the light of day in his Ksav Yad Kotshei Mamish that had never, ever been printed. Now, they found it submerged under 4 feet of water. The National Archives and Records Administration made Herculean efforts to conserve these soaked and moldy items. We could have never recovered them, but they have access to technology. This was the United States government and the military, and they literally did whatever they needed to do. They gave full access to their technology to be able to uncover this. And it is only due to their efforts that these precious writings can be studied today. The Sephardic Heritage Museum is most grateful to them for these monumental undertakings and looks forward to disseminating more of these priceless manuscripts to the public. And then finally, this is the last paragraph. The Sephardic Heritage Museum also wishes to thank Senator Charles Schumer for his efforts with this matter. But either way, we're going to stop here.